Check your pockets. Look inside the couch cushions and underneath the seats of your car. Welcome to Front Range Spare Change. Here's Dustin and Clayton.
Clayton, good sir. Another profitable week. Record going upwards, which is nice to see. 32-25 on the year. 6-3 last week. But good golly, that Wyoming second half really did us in.
Yeah, that stung. That stung a lot. But, hey, it happens. You're going to be on the right side of that sometimes. You're going to be on the wrong side, and we were on the wrong side. And speaking of wrong sides, I don't even want to talk about CSU football. I'm done with them.
It's just a consistent theme here on this program. I kind of like to see it. It does look better. They're doing what they should be doing better, and that's running the ball. So maybe we lied a little bit last week. Maybe we don't have just the odd or even play. Maybe we actually found something this week. But odd or even is always in the bag for you out there.
That is a 50-50 stab at it, right? Whereas our opinion on CSU has not been 50-50 ball.
Yeah, no, not one bit there. But we got a short slate here this week. We've got a couple of our local teams playing each other. And then see you on a bye week. So one less there. And, of course, the late night hammer this week's going to be a doozy for you. But I think we found a good one here, too.
To start it off, we got a matchup. This is going to be a ball game. It's Friday night. Friday night lights. Nebraska at Minnesota. Nebraska, our boys from the Corn, they've treated us well this year. They're 7.5-point favorites, and total is 46.5, 6 p.m.
Do you think they have corn in Minnesota?
Well, they got fishing in a lot of lakes, you know. Probably.
Those things go hand in hand, right? This guy's got to be there.
I told me this, but I heard one time they get real close to the corn, and this is a big cornfield, kind of like the Field of Dreams. You can hear the corn growing. We're going to try it.
I do believe this gentleman maybe has had too much fermented
not
corn.
It has turned into bourbon, I believe, huh? Nebraska has been very good to us. Minnesota's a little bit interesting. Definitely better on the defensive side of things than they are on the offensive side of things, but they're just an interesting team. Their schedule has been a little weird too. I'm very impressed on the Nebraska side of things. They're 5-1. They actually have a real path to Big Ten title hopes. It's becoming a real thing here.
I would agree with that. You can see this team picking up momentum on a weekly basis for sure. Last week's win against Maryland, I'll tell you what, that was something. They had a little bit of a rallying cry there too. You could kind of see that team come together when Dylan Raiola took that cheap shot. They rallied around their guy and they started playing a little different brand of ball after that. That was impressive. I'm a believer. They are going to find themselves ranked in the top 25 and pretty high up there if they continue at this rate. Minnesota 4-2, not chump change, but they've just kind of had some interesting games. A loss at Cal, which is a bad loss. They put up only 3 points against Ohio State. Ohio State is Ohio State.
Yeah, they're the number one ranked D in the country, I believe.
Yeah, it's super impressive, but I guess I would have expected them to at least hit double digits, find pay dirt one time. Purdue, the Gophers come to this game off a win against Purdue 27-20. They aren't half bad. Nebraska's passing game, and this is just a weekly theme. They're still top 10 in the country, 310 yards per game. That's just unbelievable. And defensively, they're against the pass, they are just deadly. You know, 118 yards per game, and they gave up a bunch. They were under 100 last week, and, you know, still, I think giving up another 20 yards per game on the average, they're still number one.
Yeah, pretty impressive. We debated this for a little bit. I think we have the right play. We're only going to make one, but I don't, if this was played on a neutral site, like I feel like Nebraska would be favored by probably 3 to 4 more points than they are. And 7.5 is just a weird number. So I think we picked the right side, but if you're a Nebraska fan out there, like I don't hate 9.5 to 13.5 or something like that. If you want to take an adjusted line, get a little plus money on your favorite team. I don't hate that. But the play that we came up with, we like over 46.5. One, this game screams under, and every time a game has screamed under to us, it's gone over considerably.
Yeah,
the Michigan State
like
side, the Maryland side, the whole thing, it ends up in a lot of points.
Yeah, this is going to be 72-68.
So yeah, we really like the 46.5. One big reason, we think Nebraska puts up points. We're hoping that Minnesota can just put up, I don't know, 17-20.
I see him doing that. Nebraska's run defense still is not good. And,
right.
You know, that's the one thing. If you're game planning and you are Minnesota, now they do not have much of a rushing offense, but this is an opportunity for them to exploit a defense that's not exactly prepared for the run.
Yeah. And I think that if Nebraska gets up early, say, you know, they're up 2 scores early, that pass rush is still a real thing, and they're very good about, you know, defending in tough situations, that I think they can create turnovers. Turnovers, can always help an over. We saw quite a bit off, you know, last week with special teams, with pick sixes. So I really think that this over 46.5 is just wrong. Like I feel like that's almost a touchdown off. I would have expected something in the low 50s, kind of, you know, 52, 53, not 46.5. So I think we're on the right side of this one.
That's where I kind of played it. You know, Minnesota quarterback Drake Lindsey has had a pretty good year. 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Ground game, they do, you know, running back by rotation sort of committee. And they're just overall a pretty good team. But I got to believe that the total here goes over. I don't know that that Lindsey, besides the Ohio State game, has seen a defense quite like Nebraska's. And I would look for at least a turnover there. He's only thrown for about 60% completion.
Yeah, it could get ugly the more I think about this, but I do think the right side, pregame is just over 46.5 here, and we're going to stick with that and ride with the one play. Where do you want to go next?
Well, we've got a couple of our locals that we cover weekly. We got the Wyoming Cowboys visiting Air Force. This is a Saturday 1:30 game.
Big fan of that. We like both of these teams. They're going to get a little off. And, you know,
let's see what the offense has in store this week. Wow. Air Force offense just absolutely cannot be stopped. 1:30 game Saturday. Wyoming is getting 4 points at Air Force. Total is 58.5. So Wyoming comes into town 3-3 on the year after a remarkable win against San Jose last week. And Air Force, they're not winning games, but they are scoring a heck of a lot of points.
Yeah, so sad for our second half of last week's play there. We were right in the ballpark of sweeping that featured game. And then, you know, but a turnover off of a guy's helmet while the third string quarterback's in there. And I don't know what San Jose State was doing, by the way, in the second half. They had their second stringer in there, third stringer in there. Then when it got tied, then they put the starter back in. Like, I literally don't know what they're doing.
Hard to say. I don't know that they really knew what they were doing either. You know, that would be one of those things that you would like to have a conversation and just say, "What? Tell me the thought process here, because I don't get it."
Yeah, 100%. But wins are wins, and Wyoming gets one on the board there. And I just think after an emotional high like that, going against a Air Force offense, I just don't think Wyoming can put up enough points in this one to keep up. This could be the first time that Air Force faces a team that they're considerably outmatched. You know, like UNLV, a good offense. Hawaii, a good offense. Utah State, a good offense. So a lot of the teams that Air Force has faced already is completely different than what Wyoming brings to the table. And I like the Air Force side quite a bit here.
This is probably my favorite game of the week. There's no way that Wyoming has a pretty good defense, but there's no way they're going to keep, the Academy out of the end zone. I think this thing is a little bit one-sided. Air Force, number three rushing attack. But to pair with that, they're middle of the road through the air. And that's unusual for an Air Force team. And Wyoming just struggles. You know, last week, I know they put up, 35 points, but that just it almost seemed like a misnomer. One of those flukes that doesn't really happen.
We had a defensive touchdown. They had a special teams touchdown. Yeah. And then it was late when they actually got another offensive score. So I'm with you there. The best part about Air Force's offense is they're just so efficient. For a team that didn't start off that great, they're 17th in drive efficiency, 27th in play efficiency, 23rd in the country in explosive drives. For a team that you wouldn't think lights it on fire, this team does it. You want to know what the Wyoming defense does the worst?
Lay it on me.
Drive efficiency. So you want to know those two things correlate together? It's got to be Air Force points here.
Points. And Wyoming brings in the 112th ranked rushing defense, 187 yards per game. That's not going to get it done. Absolutely not against, Air Force and Liam Zarka, who has just been impressive. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards, and you don't get to say that very often in the middle of the season for an Air Force team.
Yeah.
Eight touchdowns, three interceptions, 63%, which complement that with 584 yards on the ground and eight touchdowns. That's points.
And they're starting to find different targets. It used to just be Cade Harris down the field. Now they've got a tight end threat. I think it's Fleischman. I can't remember. 88. Yeah. But big dude, they're starting to get him into it.
Four touchdowns for him.
Yeah. The fullback replaced Dylan Carson, I think, last week. Can't remember his name. Maybe Allen, I believe, is his last name. Two touchdowns.
Owen Allen.
Yeah.
Two first names.
You can't trust those guys, by the way, but we'll trust them this week. But yeah, it looked like they figured out, that fullback dive, which is an important part of that triple option. They created some huge holes, against UNLV. And I just kind of see that only picking up more steam here. So we're going to be on the Air Force onslaught here. Air Force minus 2.5 first half, Air Force minus 4 for the game, and Air Force over 34.5 the adjusted line. We're liking these plus monies. By the way, three plus money bets that we gave out last week out of our six wins.
Yay us. How about that?
Yeah,
right?
Gets a little bit of that juice back on some of the ones that we lost. But so we're going to take another adjusted there with Air Force over 34.5. They don't kick that many field goals, so we're just thinking there's just no point in taking a lesser number, which basically lends to field goals. So you might as well just take the touchdown route there. Air Force onslaught here, my friend.
I would not be afraid to max out that Air Force team total number. Whatever it is on your app, I might. I would not be surprised to see them hang 45 on Wyoming. This thing, it just all roads lead to the end zone here, and Wyoming. Their last couple of games, like you mentioned, the freak touchdowns, the pick six, the the two block punts, scoops and scores for the other team. It's just strange things are happening with Wyoming, and I got to believe the Air Force is going to just methodically do what Air Force does, go down the field, score points, and make this thing, you know, academic by halftime.
Yeah, I totally agree. If Air Force can play a lick of defense and, you know, Wyoming can turn the ball over once or twice like they've kind of done periodically here through the first portion of the season, this one could – It could lend to just Air Force running away with this. I agree. For a team that's won less games and Wyoming coming off a good win at home. One thing we didn't look at, did we? The weather's supposed to be nice in the Springs, isn't it?
As far as I know, I don't think there's anything moving in that's going to be, you know, too terribly game threatening.
That would be the only thing I'd look at. You know, if you're a last minute better, just double check the forecast, and that goes for all of our teams here. You know, it gets
this
crazy
time of year.
Obviously we just saw hail up in Wyoming, so double check those things, because you know that obviously impacts lines and whatnot. But if it's supposed to be nice, we're all in on Air Force here.
In the fall, usually the biggest threat to the scoreboard and keeping teams off is wind.
Yeah,
but that's one thing you don't really have to worry a lot about with Air Force. Even if it is a windy day, Air Force style ball is not, you know, pitching it, you know, 20 yards down the field, you know, every other play. So I still like them. And Wyoming's offense just struggles so much against everybody that this thing is an Air Force surplus here.
100%. And if you're a Pokes fan out there and they can't get the offense going this week, there won't be another week. Air Force is still the worst. They're the 136th in the country, I have them as, and they're terrible across the board. So if they can't figure it out, at least a little bit here, they're probably going to be in bigger trouble as the season goes along. But, Air Force minus 2.5 first half, Air Force minus 4 for the game, Air Force over 34.5 team total. Featured game, where are we heading next?
Well, another couple of our favorites here. We got Hawaii visiting CSU. Hawaii's plus 3. That just, I don't know. We'll talk about that, but that just sits wrong with me. CSU, and total is 53.5, 5 o'clock Saturday.
We love them both.
Bye.
Soothing. I love CSU. These guys, they've hurt me. They've hurt me a lot. I'm going to have to go see some counselor or something. This is
bad to the pocketbook, I'll tell you that.
Man. Hawaii, 5-2. Timmy Chang's squad coming to CSU. Colorado State, you know, 2-4. Big win last week. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. So, you know, obviously it's one of the teams that we cover closely here on the station. And the only thing that my eyeballs witnessed is that there's not a whole lot of confusion on offense anymore. They call a play seamlessly. They execute that play and they have started to run the ball about 65-35 through the air. And that completely changed from the first few games. And that's by far their strength. And I just think having a little bit of cohesion there has picked up where the offense goes. I don't know if Fresno State was – I mean, E.J. Warner was terrible, so that we can start there. Him missing open targets and whatnot just led to bad drives and some interceptions and things. So that led to more points with the defense being out there all the time. But I think CSU does have something figured out a little bit here.
Yeah, that one to me was just a real head scratcher. Fresno has some impressive victories and has put up a lot of points and played some good defense. And then to, you know, just have the wheels fall off surprised the heck out of me, really.
Yeah, everybody obviously has down games. And, you know, that was probably once the wheels kind of fell off, the whole wagon tipped over and everything was gone there. We like some points though here, don't we?
I do. You've got a CSU team that starts to look like, hey, they're putting it together, and Broussel made some good passes. They were able to get to Fresno State, caught them off guard, caught them in some bad looks, and hung 49 on them. The last two games for Hawaii, they've put up 44 points. At Air Force, not so much. But against Utah State, 44 points is pretty impressive. They are no stranger to scoring points. But additionally, I've been able to watch them the last two games in quite a bit of depth, and they look like they've got that run and shoot clicking. The timing is right, and Micah Alejado has just not gotten off, you know, off schedule at all. They have been on it. They've got they got a lot of traction, and I like where they're going.
Yeah, Ashlock was good last week too. And then a couple touchdowns and some solid yardage there too, and that's going to be their future target. There's two big discrepancies here. So Hawaii through the air, obviously that's what we just talked about. That's what they're going to do. Their effectiveness is 62nd in the country, which is for Mountain West ball is good. CSU defending the pass, 108th. CSU on the ground now, 53rd. Once again, Mountain West ball, that's good. Hawaii defending the run, 93rd, on my effectiveness is, those two mismatches to me lead to an awful lot of points. So our first bet here, give us over 53.5. I know it's not an odd or even bet, but over 53.5, I think is a breeze. I think these are two separate styles of games, and they're both somewhat explosive. Hawaii likes to, short dinks and dunks, but, if CSU misses a couple of those open field tackles, I mean, there could be some big ones here.
Yeah, you get the yards after catch. You know, what's surprising is Hawaii's offense, it lives on the 20-plus yard passes. That's not a 20-plus yard pass. That mm-hmm. is a 3-yard pass and then, you know, Ashlock breaking a tackle or making a move and just getting downfield.
Yeah, 100%. And we're going to play two bets here. Watch out, CSU fans. But we think the offense to trust a little bit more, is the Hawaii side. We like Hawaii's team total over 26.5, just to kind of correlate the two together. We think that they get four touchdowns on the board just from, you know, history, the things we have just talked about. CSU is still the more injured team. And just more question marks. I don't think CSU has fixed their defense at all, but I do think they've fixed their offense. I'm just not willing to throw out, a Rams total bet yet. So, I'll be on the Hawaii side of things. The +3, I don't know how CSU is favored. It just doesn't make any sense to me after, you know, they have one good performance and, or well, I guess two straight performances against, you know, San Diego State and Fresno State. And I guess that just flipped the book's mind here, I guess.
I suppose so, but to me, it just doesn't add up. I think a home field is probably driving that more than anything else. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, have a short memory. And that's what is going to, you know, drive some lines is that people remember last week and that, you know, suddenly moves something. But, you know, you've got Alejado coming into town fresh off a 400-plus yard outing. I mean, that's, you know, ridiculous numbers right there. He's thrown for 1,456, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 65% passing completion rate. Jackson Brousseau, you know, I guess he, you know, hasn't made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to, you know, to keep them in the game. There's no way that this is a shutout.
Yeah.
CSU is going to score some points.
Yeah, on the CSU side of things, what I've liked about Brousseau is he trusts his reads. When it's there, he goes. When he doesn't trust the read, he runs, which for what they're trying to do is great. BFN has the arm talent of the world, so he always tried to fit it in there. And I don't think that's what this team needs. They're, you know, and their best option to win is using all three of their running backs. Marshall's good, Avant's good. You know, they just, that's their recipe, and I think they're finally starting to put that all together. And if this somehow doesn't get over 53.5, I will promise 100% next week we're going to flip a quarter on this podcast for odd or even, and that's what it's going to be.
That's the best advice that you will probably get with with this team. And, you know, that this thing goes over that 53.5. Hawaii over that 26.5, that's -105. I like that number. It's not the stock number. That's the adjusted one. But give me those, and then let's take it to late night.
I love it. Love it. Do you think this is going to be an interesting game. It's two teams that – well, we've talked about one of them because we played a Stanford game early in the year, did we not?
Yeah, they played Hawaii. Hawaii got them. I think that was the opener.
That's right. That's right. Florida State comes into town. This is a complete mismatch on paper. But it's a tale of two halves for Florida State, and Stanford's just kind of the stock meh so far.
Yeah, Stanford is, wow, that's not Stanford football. They still have an interim head coach, Frank Reich, so you got to appreciate that. He's been interim, I think, since July?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a full-time job, but I don't know. Florida State. Holy smokes, have they lost some momentum? They beat Bama to start the season. Then they hang 77 on East Texas and 66 on Kent State, pick up some victories. And then their season just takes a nosedive. They play Virginia, and this one goes double overtime. They lose. But on the schedule next was Miami, and I think I could make the argument that they were looking ahead, looking past Virginia to Miami, and that's probably somewhat true. Then the Miami game, they lose 22-28, but it was not that close. They got housed from the get-go. And then last week, they lose to Pitt. They're coming in on a three-game losing streak. And they look like they have no momentum, but they got all sorts of talent.
So those last three games, I believe, are actually pretty good teams. For some reason, I've wagered on a couple of the Pitt games that have been out there. That's a good football team. The stats don't tell a whole lot with Pittsburgh. That's a good team. Miami, obviously, I think they've got to be top five, top 10. All the talent in the world there. The Virginia one, that one stinks. The coaching staff is going to get a lot of the pressure here, because if they don't come ready to play at Stanford, gotta be some hot seats, the temperature's gotta be rising down there. And this to me is just a complete mismatch. Florida State, number 10th on the ground versus Stanford's 100 ranked rush defense. If you put all the things together in my book here, I have Florida State as the 42nd best team, Stanford the 96th. And it just screams like Florida State should win by a zillion here.
They really should. They've got the number 7 rushing offense against, you know, Stanford's rushing defense, which is awful. 131 is what I got them at. And this looks to me like Florida State should show up, they should hand it off, and they should just roll out of town with a victory, and it should be super easy. They've got running back Gavin Sawchuk, 423 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns, but they mix it up a little bit. They run a tempo offense that gets it out quickly. They have basically an extended running game with the short passes. Tommy Castellanos has 1,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5 picks. You know, surprising, when the Stanford team, which is, you know, general managed by Andrew Luck, just is having a difficult season, and they just really don't look good. But their quarterback play is surprising, not half bad. You know, Ben Gulbranson, he's thrown for about 1,500 yards, 6 touchdowns, four picks though, which never helps. But it's one of these teams where you kind of go, wow, how are they that bad?
Yeah, they're and you know, the couple of times that we've watched them, they're just, they're clunky at times. It never seems like anything is seamless for them. They'll go for a little streak where everything's okay, and then it goes right back to clunky. And I just think Florida State's athletes, and I just think overall that they're considerably better. I think Sacek just has a field day. Like, I would be surprised if he has, you know, less than 150 on the ground and they just keep going. One of the big things that I like in this game to back Florida State here is they're 20th in the country in explosive drives. Stanford is 110th in giving them up. That's a huge number for two, you know, pretty premier programs. And I think that's what's going to separate Florida State here. So we like Florida State minus 17.5. Not the best of numbers right now, but we don't think it's going to matter. You can take it 19.5, 20.5. If you want to, you know, play the numbers game a little bit more on those key things, but, we're going to keep it at 17.5 and just hope that they, you know, win by a boatload like they're supposed to.
Yeah. This is the late night get right here. When you, when and if you've had a bad day, look to Florida State and the Seminoles to, you know, put you to bed on a good note.
You know, and luckily enough here, we haven't had too many bad days where I've had to rely on that. I almost did it last week because I was searching after that Wyoming game.
And we were all searching.
And I stuck to my responsible wagering, but last week would have been one on a tilt scale. I probably would have piled it in on Hawaii. it's never a good thing to do, and I know we're all guilty of it, but Stick to the plan out there. I do think Florida State gets us a winner in the late night session. And it's a short slate for us, so you should probably have a little bit more funds to allocate throughout because we don't have as many plays and we don't have as many games.
Easy peasy. Give me Florida State scoring 45 points and Stanford scoring 7.
Like it. Let's run through them again just real quick. So Nebraska, Minnesota, plain, simple, over 46.5. Both teams score some points. Wyoming Air Force, back-to-back weeks, Wyoming makes our featured game here.
Go Cowboys. Well, not this week.
Not this week. But go them in general. Air Force minus 2.5 first half. Air Force minus 4 for the game. Air Force adjusted team total over 34.5.
Plus money.
Yep.
Plus
feel free money. To fire that up there if you get close to kickoff and you think that one's – if they'll offer something over 40.5, 41.5, well, I wouldn't be afraid. And Hawaii CSU making a comeback as our second option game here.
Wow.
Over 53.5. Hawaii over 26.5 on that adjusted team total. Those two are going to get there. We're in serious trouble next week. They're going off the slate.
Look forward to the coin flip next week.
And, late night hammer that we just broke down there. Florida State minus 17.5. We got 7 plays. I think we get them all this week. I feel good about them all.
It's time that we run the table. I feel it. Let's get out of here. I'm hungry, Irby.
I am too. I want to make this a short one, easy. Put the plays just in. They do their jobs Friday and Saturday. We ride off into the sunset.
Done and done. Jambalaya on the menu tonight.
Thanks for listening, everybody.